ערוץ 7.
Welcome to the Rabbi Show.
The Rabbi Show.
Now you can connect with your own personal rabbi. Rabbi Yitzwein from the Young Israel Aish of Las Vegas is here at 257 KDWN.
My name is Yitzwein, and you're listening to The Rabbi Show. And I am your host here on The Rabbi Show. It's so exciting. I cannot tell you. And I'm also the rabbi of Young Israel Aish of Las Vegas, a fantastic synagogue, outreach synagogue here in Las Vegas. And it's really great. It's really great. You're always welcome near the corner of Fort Apache and Sahara. And today we want to talk about... It is kind of our 4th of July program. So, cause 4th of July this year falls in the middle of the week. So it's not really, you gotta kind of figure it out a little bit. You gotta kind of figure it out. We'll do it on the weekend. I want to tell you like this. I think that being a better Jew makes you a better American. I do. What do you think of that? Does being a better Jew make you a better American? Or does it make you a worse American? I mean, the truth is, I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to say, you know, being a better whatever you are, a better Christian is going to, not whatever. If being a better Christian is going to also going to make you a better American. We have to know what it means to be a Jew. And if you know what it means to be a Jew, then you'll know why I'm saying that. And you need to know what it means to be an American. And then you'll also know why I say that as well. But all these things go together. You know, earlier this week, you know, we have, of course, had this Congress lady. I don't even want to say her name. I'm not even going to say her name because she was so revolting, so disgusting, how she was basically turning around saying, if you disagree with me, if you're a supporter of President Trump, she didn't say president. I don't think she even said president. If you're a supporter of Trump, then we're going to harass you. Okay. So... that's not American. I don't care if she's sitting in Congress. That's not American. It's not American to stand up and say, if you disagree with me, I'm going to harass you until you leave. That's not American. And you can look at it and say, there will be those people who say, well, you know, what happens if someone's doing really bad? If you have a white supremacist walking on the street, you know, of course you got to shout him down. Well, yeah, but no one who is being a little objective is ever going to say, with whatever criticisms you're going to have of President Trump or his supporters, that or, you know, of the mainstream supporters, that he is behaving in a white supremacist way. You can't say that. If you're slightly objective, you cannot say that. So. You know, we're gonna deal with it. You know, we're gonna deal with it with that issue. Is it right to stand up and say, "Oh, we're gonna harass you till you shut up"? No, that's not American. It's not Jewish, and it's not American. If we're gonna say, "Do you have to stand up against evil?" Yes, standing up against evil is American and is Jewish. What do you think? 702-257-5396. 702-257-5396. My name is Rabbi Yitzwein. You're listening to The Rabbi Show, and we want to figure out why is it that being a better Jew makes you a better American? Now, first of all, I do want to broaden it a little bit because I realize that, you know, some might be listening, and we do have a lot of people who listen to this program on their way as they're getting ready to go to church. There are a lot. So I think that this concept is applicable to you as well. It's not going to be to every religion, by the way. Not to every religion. You know, America, you have to take a moment to understand what America is. What are the United States of America? Which should help you appreciate the 4th of July better. It should help you appreciate it. Because I think that the 4th of July should not be just a day where you go watch the fireworks and you get a day off and you have a barbecue. The 4th of July, in my opinion, should be a day where you celebrate being an American, where you celebrate saying, this is the greatest country on earth, and this is why it's so great, and I appreciate its greatness in such a high level. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You made me an American. You know, because as we know, there's a whole bunch of people who who wish they were Americans. A whole bunch of people wish they were Americans. So with that, you know how religious tolerance is an American product. It's made in America. If you could take a stamp that said made in America, right, and you took the value of religious tolerance, you would it would have made in America stamp on it. It'd like have a little label to it. Because religious tolerance actually did not exist before the founding fathers, you know, made it exist. And by the way, the founding fathers, you know, I like to stop and say, hey, listen, you know, everything good in the world comes out, you know, directly from Judaism. It does, but it's kind of like, it's like a step removed. It's a little bit of a step removed. And just so you know how it happened, it happened that in the 1500s, long before America was founded, that in the 1500s, with the advent of Martin Luther in Germany, that before the creation of Protestant movement, that what happened was that Europe was dominated by the Catholic Church, and all religious power was concentrated in the Pope and the Catholic clergy. So they determined religious doctrine, and there was a power structure that was top down. This is I'm going to give you your 2 minute history of Christianity here. but it's important because I think you need to know this in order to understand what America is. It's an interesting thing. To understand what American is, you got to know this like little piece of Christian history. So what happened was this. So in the 1500s, 16th century, so you have all religious life in Europe was a holdover from the Holy Roman Empire. It was Catholic. Everything was Catholic. It was Pope, Catholic clergy. Everything was determined from the top down. Lo and behold, in 1517, you got Martin Luther, who was a German priest, and he actually understood Hebrew, which, by the way, not all of them did. So he had some real issues, and he led a revolt that came to be known as the Protestant Reformation. And the theme of the Reformation was that people should be free to interpret the Bible and manage the houses of worship how they saw it fit. In other words, from the bottom up. That was his thing. So the most zealous of England's reformers were known as the Puritans, because their job, their calling was to purify the Church of England. So some of these Puritans became so disenchanted that they decided they had no choice but to leave England. So the only place in the world they could go was the New World of America. And because that was the only place that was not tainted by European prejudice. So what they did is they got in these boats, these little wooden sailing ships. You know, Mayflower was one of many, many, many. And they, under risk of death, which many of them died doing, they crossed the Atlantic, the North Atlantic, and eventually they show up on the shores of America, and they start having these houses of worship. But these are houses of worship were not determined by a top-down authority of their religion. It was a bottom-down. It was the people in the church themselves that were determining how exactly we're going to pray, who we're going to pray to, that kind of stuff. So what ends up happening, and by the way, just a nice, like, fun fact, is that Rhode Island was established in 1638 as a haven for some of these dissidents. In other words, because Rhode Island, like, the real extremists said, oh, man, the ones who just said, you know, we got to do it our way, you know, I'm doing it my way, they went to Rhode Island, not New York, right? Even though Frank Sinatra, he was in New York. He said, did it my way in New York. No. But they went to Rhode Island. So nonetheless, in the 17th century, more people are coming. You got Catholics and Jews and everything else. But they were real small compared to the number of Protestants who were around. So when in 1776, when you have the Revolutionary War, so the Protestants, they were dominant, and they basically set up America. So America was really set up through Christians, but the essence of it was a religion of from bottom down. And from bottom up, I'm sorry. So what happens is you have these America is finding its way, and eventually what happens is Congress passes a law that they say that Congress will make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of ... And hence you have freedom of religion. It's set up. You're allowed to, in the Constitution, it tells us that we are allowed to worship or not worship as we see fit. And that is religious tolerance. That's where it begins with these Protestants. And so once you have that, now you have all these synagogues and all that kind of stuff and churches and everyone's around and everyone's okay doing what they're doing or not doing what they're doing. And now and that leads into that allows things like the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the various things that have come up that actually create the essence of American values. So what I'm saying is it's not that when you go to a synagogue, because again, the topic really that I want to hone into is the being a better Jew makes you a better American. So it's not the like, okay, hey, nah, that means I can be as Jewish as I want or as not Jewish as I want. I can learn or not learn. That's not what I'm saying. Not at all. What I'm saying is you do need there is more than one way to be a great Jew, but it will be contained within a broader spectrum. Just like there's more than one way to be a great American, but it's contained within a broader spectrum. You have to think of a big circle. So you have a big circle. You can do a lot of different things as an American or as a Jew, as long as you stay in the circle. Once you step out of the circle, then you're no longer behaving like an American. You're no longer behaving like a Jew. So when you have this Congress lady who stands up and tells everyone, hey, if you disagree with me, you're going to, you know, we're going to harass you. That's outside the circle. If you have someone, if you have a Jew who decides to practice Christianity, that's outside the circle. So the important point here is where do you draw the circle? If you know where the circle is and then you say everything inside the circle is totally fine. Now, the reason this is important is because, you know, it's interesting, you know, Vladimir Putin, when he was criticized about, you know, his what happened with Crimea. So, you know, they said, how do you go after Russians like this? You know, how do you treat fellow Russians this way? Vladimir Putin's response to that was fascinating. His response was, how do you know they're Russians? Maybe they're Ukrainians with Russian citizenship. you get it? Maybe they're Ukrainians with Russian citizenship. No, I'm not treating fellow Russians this way. A Russian? I would never treat a Russian this way. No, he's a Russian. He's a Ukrainian. He just happens to have fellow citizenship. You know, so which always begs the question, are you an American Jew or a Jewish American? What's your primary? Are you a Jew first that has American citizenship? Or are you an American first that happens to practice Judaism or identify as a Jew? Which one are you? So I think it actually is going to make a big difference. It makes a big difference. And I will tell you that if you are a Jew first who happens to have American citizenship, you'll be a better American. If you have the Jewish value structure. Now, I want to share with you the essence of what the American value structure is. And then you'll see how it all kind of fits together. So, but right now, my name is Rabbi Yitzwein. You're listening to The Rabbi Show. And by the way, the number to call, if you wish, is 702-27. I was about to give my cell phone number. 702-257-5396. 702-257-5396. Why is it that being better Jews makes us better Americans? Do you believe that? You know, do you believe that this tolerance of religion, which is going to broaden into an issue of tolerance of thoughts. Like, how disgusting is it that someone would say, if you disagree with me, I'm going to harass you until you get out? I jump on this. I really believe that if you have a member of Congress who stands up, that's an assault in America. That's an assault on American values. Now, the way we would respond to that is not by harassing her. The way you respond to that is by creating a shout out so loud that the people in her district vote her out of Congress. That's how you do it. She should lose her job. She should not. I don't think she should be impeached. You know, people say, oh, you know, I, God forbid, you know, there were people talking real violent stuff, you know, and the people that want to take violence against her, they're just her of a different color of skin. That's all. It's a tiger with different stripes. That's what it is. The issue is that she can say it. It's not American, but we should take her out of the position. She should be voted out of a position where she represents, the Congress. That's my solution on it. But could people disagree? Yes, you can disagree, but there's a way to disagree. It's very interesting. I saw a beautiful quote the other day that when people say, don't talk about an avoidance of talking about religion and politics only leads to an ignorance of religion and an ignorance of politics. What you need to talk about is you need to learn how to talk about people who disagree with each other. That's the key, right? Oh, here's the quote. Being taught to avoid talking about politics and religion has led to a lack of understanding of politics and religion. What we should have been taught was how to have a civil conversation about a difficult topic, which I believe is very, very true. That's a Jewish value. A Jewish value is you can talk about everything, and you should talk about everything. But there's a way to talk about it. There's a way to talk about it in that it's not a personal attack. You can vehemently disagree about an idea or a solution, and you fight it out to the very end, but without making it personal. And that's really that's the Jewish way. That is the Jewish way. That's why when it says, you know, when you have two students of Torah, you're trying to learn about God, you're trying to learn about morality, and you're studying Talmud. So when they're sitting in there and they're studying, they might yell and scream and they're fighting it out. But when they get up, they're best of friends. Because the goal is truth. That's the goal. The goal is truth. So the number to call, 702-257-5396. Does it disgust you that a member of Congress would actually stand up and tell people, you know, we've got to harass. We're going to harass everyone if you disagree with us to the point that you leave. And why is that so un-American? And at the same time, we know that being an American means, one of the things it means, is it means that you can disagree with each other. And not that you agree to disagree, by the way. That agreeing to disagreeing is a false value. It's a way to say, I don't want to think about the issue all the way through to the end. It's a cheap imitation. It's a counterfeit value to agree to disagree. What a person should always do is say, no, this is what I believe. And I believe it so strongly that I'm willing to discuss it and learn it until I get to a point where I don't need to discuss it anymore because I've come to a resolution that we are now kind of on the same page. That's what a person should do. Why is a value a proper value? So, you know, it's interesting. We are beginning a period of time called the 3 weeks. Dum, 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 dum. And it is a mourning period for the Jewish people. So we don't do things. We don't get married in these 3 weeks. We don't take haircuts. We don't buy new things that we'd have to make a special blessing on. You know, we don't listen to live music. You don't have parties. And then as the 3 weeks progress, the mourning intensifies to the point that, you know, the last 9 days of these 3 weeks, we're not going to swim. We're not going to go and We're not going to eat meat or drink wine. And then the very, very last day of these 3 weeks, it's called Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of the Jewish month of Av. And that's a day that's a fast day. It's a 25-hour fast. We don't eat or drink, have marital relations, take showers. We don't, none of that stuff, right? So what is all this about? It's all about learning how to understanding that sometimes life's not perfect. Okay. There are things in life. Our life is great. We live in a great country, but it's not perfect. And we identify certain negative things that have happened to the Jewish people and the roots of why these things have happened. And we mourn over the fact that we don't have a perfect world. And those people who mourn, who take a period of time in their life and go through stages of mourning, then what they do is they learn how to rejoice when things really are good. If you can mourn and be sad when things, at particular times, when things are not good, then you can rejoice properly when things are good. And of course, Jewish law mandates, you know, when do you do that? So one of the times is these 3 weeks in the middle of the summer. And the reason is because historically you have different things that had happened to the, occurred to the Jewish people. The beginning of 3 weeks starts off with a day that, you know, it's the day that Moses came down from the mountain and broke the first set of tablets. He witnessed the Jewish people worshiping the golden calf. And it was another time when Jerusalem was invaded by a foreign army and about to be destroyed. And another time when a foreign general, you know, burned a Torah scroll publicly and placed an idol in the temple. You know, in the inner sanctum of the temple. And so we stop to look at all these horrible things that happened, and we say, oh my gosh, these were all assaults on Jewish values. You know, and then you get to another point where you stop and say, and then it's, you know, where the culmination of these 3 weeks will be when, you know, the spies came back and they told in the Bible, when they told Moses, let's not go in the land of Israel. Let's not go in the land of Israel, and the destruction of the first temple in Jerusalem and the destruction of the second temple in Jerusalem. And because we look at history, we stop and say, well, history, we have to learn from history. We have to learn what the value is from history. And so in these negative things, we stop and say, well, God brought all of these punishments upon the Jewish people because there was immorality and people didn't appreciate each other. People spoke badly about each other. And when people bring hatred into the world, so then the Almighty tries to wake us up. And that's why I was so disgusted by this Congress lady, because she's preaching hatred. She's preaching hatred in sheep's clothing, saying, oh, I love the illegal aliens. I love the illegal. Okay. First of all, they're illegal. Okay. Right. They're illegal. Immigration's great. Immigration is fantastic. Did you see the Pope gets up and he weighed in on this, right? The Pope said, I want to praise Germany because Germany and Sweden, they bring in all as many immigrants as they can. And America should bring in as many immigrants as they can. That's the Pope gets up and says that. You Dummer Hazel. The Pope, you know what? The Vatican's got lots of rooms. Let him bring in illegal immigrants into the Vatican. Let him open up Vatican City for all the immigrants. Is he going to open it up? No, he's not going to open it up. He's not going to say anyone who's legal, just come in. Well, why not? Vatican City's pretty big. He could probably absorb 2,000. He could probably absorb 2,000 Mexicans. Not Mexicans, Guatemalans that are running away from a horrible life. These people are running away from a horrible life, right? I mean, have a little mercy on them. But just because they pushing to come in to the country, that doesn't mean you push them in. You say, no, there's a system to become in the country, and there's a system, and there's legal immigration. We believe in legal immigration. So listen, Pope Dummer Hazel, what are you doing? You're gonna weigh in on something without getting it down? Crazy. Okay, listen, my name is Rabbi Yitzwein. You're listening to The Rabbi Show. We're going to come back. I'm going to explain the primary American values and how they fit in with the primary Jewish values. But don't go away. My name's Rabbi Yitzwein. You're listening to The Rabbi Show.
Welcome to the Rabbi Show.
The Rabbi Show.
Now you can connect with your own personal rabbi. Rabbi Yitz Wein from the Young Israel Aish of Las Vegas is here at 257 KDWN.
All right. Welcome back. My name is Yitz Wein. I'm the rabbi of Young Israel Aish of Las Vegas, and we are talking about how being a better Jew makes you a better American. This is our 4th of July show, even though the 4th of July falls on a Wednesday. But you can listen over here on the new 101.5 FM or 720 AM KDWN. This is the only FM news talk station in Las Vegas. How exciting is that? Something new over here. Or you can tune in this on Arutz Sheva. Right, the Israeli national news broadcasting service. And the key is over here. The important thing is what do you need to do to connect with the Almighty and have the most pleasurable life? Ultimately, that's what we're trying to do. So we're by learning values, by understanding proper values, how you look at the world, that allows people to connect with God, and that leads them to the proper life. Being an American is an absolute beautiful thing, and I will tell you, if you're a better Jew, you'll be a better American. And we have to go through what the primary American values are, and you'll see how they fit into the scope of how Jews look at the world. But right now, let's go to Bubby A. Good morning, Bubby A.
Oh, good morning, dear. Is it okay I have you on speaker, or should I take it off speaker?
You sound wonderful, and I have great news.
I know, and he loves you too.
Thank you. The Almighty loves you very much.
Thank you, darling. So listen, I just I want to say that if we follow Jewish values and not go off on all kinds of crazy opinions and try to stir up trouble, but look at things in a legal way and a decent way, I think we'll all be better for it. So I want you're going to go ahead and explain those values. And this particular woman who is in a position to influence people in a good way is a very dangerous person. The woman should be voted out, or whatever legal procedures are to get her out of government, because if you look at history over and over again, it's people like this who cause horrible tragedies. And she's not alone. The woman is not alone.
Right.
There's a history. Once you have a history, you do something once, you make a mistake, you apologize for it, you do your best to make up for it. But this is a woman with a history of rabble-rousing. So my thought on the subject is we should do things decently, honorably, legally. And I really, my feelings about all these immigrants are, I'll just tell you one thing that I feel very strongly about. When our people came into these shores,
right.
I'm not saying maybe one or two came in illegally in the past, a very small minority. I really wasn't there, so I don't know. I'm talking about the great influx from Europe, you know, for the Jewish people. And then we had other influxes from other areas, you know, like the Middle East and so on. But I can tell you how hard my great uncle worked to bring he came in as a young boy, and these stories are repeated over and over again. He came in as a kid, and he came in legally, and then he worked like a horse to bring all his family in. And with all his hard work ethic, he became a multimillionaire. From nothing, from not a penny in the pocket. Okay, so I'm just looking at one small story.
But I agree with you, but I think the point there is that there is immigration, and there is a way to come in.
Yes.
And it's a proper way, and it might not. There are refugees, right? We take refugees. We take political. There is political asylum. There's all these systems to bring people into this country, but it's not just because a person says, "Wow, I'm from a poor place, and I want to I want to get better. You know, I want a better life. It's good you want a better life, but
even if they're, you know, I understand all that because that was for all of us, you know, and not just Jews.
Right.
I'm looking at my Italian Catholic friends from my childhood. There were, everybody came in a legal fashion.
Right.
And I want to tell you one other feeling I have on this. You may have touched on it, because I didn't realize the time, and I put the radio on a little late.
Gosh,
but these people who are coming in with their families are doing this on purpose to hurt. I mean, just picture you doing this to your children.
Oh my gosh!
Bringing them in, God forbid, in such a situation, and then making it so the rest of us feel guilty. This is ridiculous. Come in legally, one at a time. You have other family members who will take your children until you can bring them in legally, one at a time. Right. You cannot do this to your children. Any person who cares about their children would not be doing this. So why is the blame being put on us? No, they are purposely doing this so that they won't be sent back, and right. They don't care that they're putting their children in harm's way. And besides physically, what are you doing to your children emotionally? You're destroying your own children. Okay, so I told the lovely young man who answers the phone that I'm not going to give a full lecture. No, just a partial. Okay, have a wonderful day, darling. We'll talk later.
Wonderful.
And thank you very much. This is a very important topic.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. Okay, the number to call is 702-257-5396, 702-257-5396. You know, we talk about, you know, Zababie saying, look at these illegal immigrants and the position they're putting their own children in. You know, it's not the same, but it's similar, but it's not the same. I want to say it's not the same, but it's similar to the idea that these Palestinian Arabs, they will take their children and they'll put their children out in front to throw rocks at soldiers in order that the soldiers will be forced to say, oh my gosh, what do I do with a kid? Like, what are I going to do with a kid? Like, literally, they will go, or they will strap bombs on themselves and bring their children out. So the children, it'll be their children will be their shields to them. And as Golda Meir said, there will be peace in the Middle East one day when the Arabs love their children as much as they hate the Jews. And I really think that what's happening over here with a lot of these families that are rushing the American border is they know they're going to be split up. It's like, you know, I know if I got my kid in the car and I got some cocaine in my car and I know it's not the same as, like, you know, they're not all drug runners. That's not what I'm saying. But I know that if I'm going to be charged with a crime, I know my kid's going to Child Protective Services. There's no reason why should my kid go to jail because I'm being a jerk. He shouldn't. So if I'm bringing my kid across the border illegally, so I know I'm going to be split up. It makes sense I should be split up. I'm the criminal. My kid doesn't. He's just coming along for the ride. Now the question is, what do you do with the kid, right? Oh, there's plenty of families. Okay. So, and again, like, I know people in this country that are here illegally. And, you know, I'm not calling, you know, ICE on them. I'm not picking up the phone, right? There's a time to oversee and overlook and this and that. But, you know, the process, it's a philosophy. So let's go to the philosophy of what it means to be an American. And you're going to see how it fits into a Jew. So I want to share with you a beautiful idea. And that this was, I came across this, it's Dennis Prager's. If you know what Dennis Prager is a great thing, Prager University. So he has a great line of encapsulating Jewish values that I want to share with you. He calls it the American Trinity, not to be confused with the Catholic Trinity, which is a statement of theology. This is the American Trinity. These are the three pillars of American values. So all you got to do is look at a coin. if you look at a coin, funny you'd look at money, all right? And you'll find the American values are inscribed, they are imprinted on a coin, on every coin. So there's three things. There's E Pluribus Unum, there is In God We Trust, and there is liberty. And you realize that no country other than the United States of America has these three values as its essence. So E Pluribus Unum, it means is from many one, right? It's a Latin phrase. It means from many one. And it means we don't care where you're from. We don't care about your blood origins. We don't care about your ethnic origins. We don't care about your racial origins. We don't care about your religious origins. We don't care. From many one. You know what? You work with us to make America. You are one of us. Doesn't make a difference. Your color, your creed, your race, whatever. You got to be here. You got to come in legally. Right? But we don't care. This is fundamental to being an American. And I think that this is, there's a perversion out there. Saying, oh, no, you got to bring everyone in. You don't have to bring everyone in. Oh, you know, it doesn't make a difference what religion you're in. This was the first thing I spoke about. Religious tolerance is a Jewish value. It's an American value. It's an American value. You know, you're not imposed by religion. Is not something that gets imposed from the top down of people. If there's a value you recognize, and this is how I have to have a relationship with God. That's what goes on. All right. That's the first thing. The next point is In God We Trust. It's also on a quarter or a dime or a penny. So it's the idea that America is founded on the notion that God is the source of our values. Ultimately, God's the source of our values. So there is nothing more Jewish than that. God is the source of our values. God's the source of everything we have. But the idea is that if you want to know what Jews think about anything, you start by looking in the Bible. You start by looking in the Torah, in the commandments, in the various mitzvahs. You look into that, and then you can understand how we view the world. That is why when we say In God We Trust, that the idea that America is founded on the notion that God is the source of all of our values, that is why in the Declaration of Independence, it says that we all have inalienable rights. They are not from human beings. They're not from, the rights we have are not from great thinkers. They are not from reason. They are from God and only God. And the fact that our rights are given to us from God means that they can never be taken away by people. Because if they were given by people, so then people could take them away. But they're not. God is so central to the American experience. The American experience, God is so central to it that there's no other form. And what God are we talking about? We're talking about the God of the Hebrew Bible. That's what we're talking about. That is the essence of it. You think about it. It really is an amazing thing. Does it mean that atheism is not American? Is atheism not American? Is atheism not un-American? You know, I don't think you can say that if someone stands up and says, I don't believe in God, they are behaving un-American. Now, clearly, you cannot be Jewish. You're not following Judaism if you say, I don't believe in God. You're not following Judaism if you say, I don't think that, you know, God started, created the world and then, you know, just got things going on his own. That's not Jewish thought. The God of the Bible, the God of the Hebrew Bible, is a God who is infinite, and omnipotent and omniscient. It's a God that you cannot, you can't bribe. You can't do anything for God. Now, God is totally involved in your life in the most intimate ways. He knows the past, present, and future. And he's totally, and he gives you free will in order to in order that you will have a relationship with him. That's our God. That's the God of the Jewish religion. But the value, the mitzvah, the commandment is to know there's a God, not to believe in God, not to have faith in God. K-N-O-W means that I have evidence to support my belief, my understanding. So either you have evidence to support your understanding of God, that God's infinite involved in your life and the source of all your values, or you don't have evidence. If you have evidence, then you know that God is involved in your life. If you don't have evidence, so you're ignorant. So you don't know. So find out. If you're one of those people who says, well, it doesn't make a difference what evidence you present to me, I'm not going to believe that God exists. Okay, so you're approaching the situation with prejudice for particular reasons, which we can go into. But you are approaching it with prejudice. Okay, so you're not being intellectually or spiritually honest. Okay, but you have that right. You have that ability to do that. That's okay. I don't agree with you, and I don't agree to disagree. You know? You're doing the wrong thing. You're not doing the mitzvah. You're not condemned for it. You're not condemned for it. So that's the idea. And the reason is because of the third part of the American value trinity. The first part is e pluribus unum. We don't care where you're from. If you come to America legally and you are part of the American experience because you're building America, and you are staying within the context of American laws, you're one of us. And you're one of us quicker than anyone else. It doesn't mean that you can't root for France. You know, if you're from France, you cannot root for France in the World Cup. No. You can't mourn if you're from Argentina, that you can't mourn that Argentina lost to France. You can be upset that Argentina lost. And a great soccer player is like Ronaldo, I think his name, is no longer playing. Bummer. But okay, that's the thing. All right, listen, that's the way it goes. So the first one is e pluribus unum. The next one is that our values are from God. In God we trust. The third one about the third value of the American value trinity is liberty. Liberty means you are free to speak, you are free to worship, you are free to do. Now again, there are laws. So there's a circle. You've got to stay within the circle. And you might say, well, listen, in the French Revolution, they said liberty, equality, and fraternity. So we Americans are not the only ones to enshrine liberty. And that's true. But we are the only ones. America is the only one to enshrine liberty, e pluribus unum, and in God we trust. And liberty, the way we speak about it, is not the same as the French understood liberty, because the French, in the French Revolution, they connected liberty with equality. And you have to notice that equality is not part of the American Trinity of values. It is equality as a European value. Now, we do believe that all human beings are born equal. That's an American value. But the European value of equality is that we end up equal. That's egalitarianism. Egalitarianism is not a Jewish value. It's not an American value, nor is it a Jewish value. When people come and say egalitarianism in anything, right, that we should all end up the same, that's not Jewish. It manifests itself in certain synagogues or temples where men and women are doing all the same mitzvahs. No. I'm a man and I have obligations, and you're a woman and you have different obligations. Yeah, in a religious sphere. And we're different. We don't end up equal, right? Egalitarianism is not an American value and it's not a Jewish value. Because what happens is we do believe that we have liberty. So, and that's our business. We're born equal, but we don't have to end up equal. So if a person is born with a silver spoon in his mouth, he has more value, he has more money, more talent, he has a little bit of luck, he works hard, that's okay. That's a small price to pay for liberty, because if you want to say that everyone has to end up equal, you take away their liberty. That's what ends up happening. Our business in America is to enable you to have the liberty to end up wherever you want, wherever your talents and abilities and your good fortune bring you. So we don't believe in equality as such, because the truth is the liberty and equality, they will often conflict. So if you want to enforce equality, then you got to tell people how much liberty they can, you tell them how much they can earn and how much vacation they can have. And what ends up happening is you end up removing liberty. That's what happens. So the American Trinity is, it works. And we're getting through it. It's an amazing, we have an amazing, amazing country. And these are all Jewish values. And that's why when you have people who hate America, like Iran, right? He will stand up and say, the big Satan is America and the little Satan is Israel. And the people will equate Israel and America because the value systems really are so, so similar. They really are so, so similar. And that's just how it is, right? But I'm just focusing on these core values. Now, if you want to talk about where the circle is, that's the circle that's the circle of values in America. If you want to talk about the circle of Jewish values, so the circle contains 4 points. There are 4 points. There is belief in God, knowledge of one God, knowledge that God gave the Torah, God wrote the Torah. I mean, God dictated the Torah letter for letter for letter for letter, 5 books of Moses. Knowledge that there's an oral tradition, we call it the Talmud, the Zohar, that explains what the Torah is. And the fact that the commandments are eternally binding. So these 4 things, that is the circle of Jewish theology. So if you have, if you're in that theology, then you're in the circle. Right. This is, again, it's, there's a lot of pluralism within the circle. There are many, many, many ways to be a good Jew, just like there are many, many ways to be a good American. The more I understand how to be a good Jew, the more I will live like an American. I really will. I will believe, I will practice. If I understand what it means to be a good Jew, then I understand, I will understand this idea of religious being tolerant, you know, within a framework. It's within a framework. I will understand what it means to have values, to share values. You know, one of the main things about, one of the great things about America, and one of the reasons why I believe that we are so prosperous, is because America is founded, again, through Judaism. It's founded on kindness. No one gives as much foreign aid as America. Now, true, most of the foreign aid that is given with strings attached, and it's given in order to promote the American agenda. But the American agenda makes people's lives better. Liberty makes liberty in God we trust, e pluris unum. This makes people's lives better. So in the same way that you turn to your son, your 16-year-old son, you say, yes, of course you can borrow the car, but when you borrow the car, you got to pick your sister up from dance lesson and you got to run to Albertson's and pick up the milk and eggs, but you can borrow the car. You're giving the keys to the car, but it comes with strings. So America gives a lot of foreign aid with strings, but those strings are to promote American values. So there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it because it's making life better. And if people don't have basic human rights, if they don't promote liberty, they should not receive foreign aid. They shouldn't. In my opinion, they certainly should not. But America is a kind country. And because we're a kind country, we're a blessed country. And because we have liberty and we are about e pluribus unum, we welcome everybody if you are living with American values. And because we know that our values come from God, so therefore this has turned such a great country. And as you celebrate the 4th of July, I want to encourage you to have a discussion with people. Not just at a barbecue, not just don't take just the day off or watch the fireworks, but have a discussion on the 4th of July why you love being an American. Have that discussion. Ask people on the 4th of July, why do you love being an American? Why do you appreciate being an American? What does it mean to you to be an American? And does it really seem to fit in with American values? I don't believe yelling and screaming at people and ostracizing them and harassing them if they disagree with you is being an American. I don't believe it is. I do believe that if you are a law-abiding citizen, then you have the right to pretty much say what you need to say, and then you have to be responsible for the consequences of that. On both angles. Whether people support you, they love you, or they don't love you. Okay, my name is Rabbi Yitzwein. I want to thank you so much for joining us. And remember, at all times, the Almighty loves you very much.